Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9am Monday to Friday. Now, I don't think I've spoken to the state member for Shepparton, Kim O'Keefe, since soon after she was elected, so it's about time we caught up. How are you going, Kim?
I'm going really well. Thank you, Terry.
Well, I've been seeing lots of action coming out of your office, lots of different issues that we could talk about. Maybe the Shepparton bypass is one we could start with, because I know that there's a bit of concern coming out after the state budget that's not going to be funded. And I know that yourself and the federal member for Nichols, Sam Birrell, have sort of united front on this to try and do something about it.
Yeah, and look, there's other stakeholders. Obviously, as a community and as a region, we need to be, ensuring that our voice is heard and that, the need has never been greater, to have this bypass happen. So, look, there's some great people behind this, but, we know the impact not having the bypass is having on our community. We saw that, stronger than ever during the floods. We have had a commitment from the state government in the past of, $10.2 million, and that was in the 2017-2018 budget, and that was for early works and the business case. So they have made a commitment to this, as has the federal government with their $208 million, which was a former coalition government pledge, commitment in 2018-2019 budget. So, our argument is this is not a new project. This is a commitment that has already been committed to in regard to that money that has been put forward. So we need to keep that, obviously that conversation happening. There is a 90-day review and we desperately need the state government to make their commitment so that there is certainty for the federal government, to leave that money there and to continue this project. So, and in the current budget, there's early planning money there, $7 million, which was already there, and $1 million has been pledged to that. It's a roundabout at the north end, and they're calling that the bypass early planning. So this is a active project. So we need to, really be forceful. And we all know, the safety concerns, the trucks, the high volume of traffic coming through our main streets of Maroopna and Shepparton, over 30,000 vehicles are using the causeway every single day. So there's so many reasons why we need this bypass, and we are the only major regional city that doesn't have a bypass. So,
we
have to keep it active.
There was some talk about a possible transport protest.
Oh, look, there's been lots of conversations around the community. We want to work, really collaboratively with the government, and we want to be respectful, but we also need our voice heard. And we, obviously there's been some words fly around, but it's about, the need. And I think the floods is almost the biggest word, the biggest opportunity that really showcased what happens to our region when we don't have a second river crossing. So, talking about, the need and the opportunity, we're working through the best ways to present that to government. Obviously, we've had so many, as Mayor, I had so many meetings about the bypass, Canberra, state government. It's happening with our local council now. We're all collaborating. So, it's a roundtable discussion, really working out, what is the best way for us? And as we speak, I'm writing to Jacinta Allen, the infrastructure minister. She's very aware of our region. I've met with her before. So it's not something that they don't understand. But I think the newest and most urgency thing for them to realise is the impact we have with the floods, having that disconnect of, our two major towns just being totally disconnected, and the impact that had on medical services, our frontliners, all those people that are trying to do their jobs and to help and support our community during a time of crisis, which we are still recovering from. Is such an important time for the government to understand this bypass is the game changer for our region. And other than that, the economic benefit for our region, 25% of the state trucks, and that number is rising, come from Greater Shepparton. I mean, that's enormous, the amount of traffic movement and what we are doing with those trucks, what they're doing for our economy. They're trying to get produce, whether it's to the Port of Melbourne or whether it's wherever they're taking it across the country, and more globally, things get sent overseas as well. We are really playing our role in economy opportunities for our country and our region. We need support from the government to allow us to continue to do that and to really thrive as a regional, community.
I was behind a truck the other week going up, I guess, the main road, my God, I'm having a mental block here. I need another coffee, Kim. Turning left, you know, sort of to go onto the causeway and over to Maroubra. And it just, it was a semi-trailer and it just got completely stuck. Like it couldn't really turn. The people on that who were going in the other direction waiting at traffic lights had to like back and then it mounted the curb. I mean, it must be very hard on our roads as well to have all these trucks on these, you know, basically suburban roads.
Yeah, of course it is. And we're seeing that damage, you know, and the companies are just trying to do their job. And I had one truck company that told me that it's costing his business $10,000 a month on repairs to his trucks from the damage, the damages we're seeing on the roads. There's so many reasons behind this. But, you know, when I was on Prepol in High Street, we witnessed a truck, a car pulling out, trying to pull out of a car park, sideswiped by a truck. No one was hurt if there was a bit of damage to the car, but that was right in front of us in, you know, minutes of just being on Prepol, trucks belting down High Street and people trying to navigate those trucks getting in and out of their cars. So we saw it right in front of us, you know, the danger. You know, I worry so desperately about, you know, people often not using crossings. They must use pedestrian crossings. You know, particularly in High Street there's so many trucks belting down there. But you talk to any of the business owners in High Street, Maroubra, you know, they're right there on the edge and they hear the trucks, the noise. People are nervous, you know, reversing into their parking at the front of their businesses, so they tend to maybe not stop there. So there's so many reasons. You know, I was talking to Charles from Stanley's, Karen, she's a lovely local community person. She's got her cafe right at the High Street and Wyndham Street lights there. And she just says, you know, Kim, just the noise and the volume of traffic, it's just, unless you see it, and this is what I'm asking Justina Allen to do, come and stand on one of our intersections, our main intersections, heading to the causeway perhaps. You don't have to wait for trucks. You will see trucks every few seconds literally just belting through there, doing what they need to do. You know, it's not against the trucks, it's us trying to get a more efficient and safer opportunity for this movement of traffic.
And these concerns about the funding of the bypass are, of course, coming after the release of last month's budget. And there were lots of other concerns coming out for our region as well. You described it in your press release as a horror budget. I mean, it's just, it's very frustrating, isn't it? So we now have you as our local member, a National Party member. So we are now possibly faced with the Andrews Labor government treating us differently, which just seems so unfair to, I mean, we're all constituents, we're all, you know, residents of Victoria. This sort of the political games that get played are very frustrating for us as residents. We all just want, you know, a fair go for our community.
Yeah, well, there was no commitment and we didn't know who was going to be in this seat prior to the election, so it's definitely not a National Party, you know, reason behind that. You know, we had no commitment to our region from this prior election. So had whoever had been in this seat, there was nothing coming our way as regard to commitment. Unfortunately, we had the Yanyamurka Pioneer Lodge funded $55 million, which is great, and I'll keep lobbying, obviously, for GB Health and other infrastructure needs that we need. But the big ones for me, regional development has been halved, you know, from $211.5 million to $106 million in this last year's state budget. You know, so that, and from 2022, basically slashed by 80%. So funding to regional development. And the other one, of course, is agriculture funding. And that's down 34% on last year, you know, from $687 million to $454 million. So these have direct impacts on our region. But, you know, the government has said, and Daniel Andrews has said, he will govern for all of Victoria. And when I sit in the chamber, we all sit there for all of the people within our state. We want the best state. Now, unfortunately, we've got this horrible debt at the moment, $10 million per day in interest is costing us every single day. That's a lot of things that we could be doing with that money. So the mismanagement of this government is huge, highly concerning, and it's impacting, you know, at a time where people are, you know, struggling with cost of living. We know that with the new tax coming in, the new land tax, that's going to increase housing costs. It's going to have a flow-on effect. The interest rates, you know, it's a really trying time for people, and I'm constantly getting contacted, you know, from people that are now depending on food relief that haven't had to do that in the past. And we just need to do things better. And I think this government is letting us down. It is absolutely letting us down, and things are getting harder. And it should not, we should not be heading in that direction. We should be heading in a different direction of opportunity and progress, and hoping sure that we all have a great life and live in a fantastic country and get the things that we need and have the support that we deserve. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm feeling very let down by this government. But as we have said, that this government governs for all of Victoria, and that includes all of us. So we must, in that chamber, all work together for a common good, and that's to make things better, you know, for all the people that we live. I want to have, as I say, the best state. I think we live in the best region. There's no doubt about that. You know, living in the Shepparton District area, we are, you know, blessed with such a wonderful community, hardworking people, people that care for each other. We just want to make sure that we all have the life that we deserve.
Well, we can't probably cover all the issues this morning, Kim, but just before I let you go, I know that you've been talking about homelessness for a long time. What are you able to do in that space at the moment?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of work to be done, and we are seeing increased numbers, so obviously working really hard with the housing minister and working closely with our service providers. But again, there wasn't enough money in the budget, and we need to continue to really work towards, you know, getting people housed. We've got a huge number of displacement in our community still, obviously impacted by the floods, but also your everyday people that are just struggling to get housing. I mean, the waiting list is enormous, and the funding that has been provided is nowhere near enough to meet that increase of demand. So we need to make sure that these service providers are able to do their job and to be able to respond and accommodate and help people. It's really desperate. I had a woman come into my office last week, a 70-year-old lady that had to go out of the accommodation arrangement she was in. Her two sons were down on the river. So these are just one of many, you know, and this is, it's very distressing, and it's very hard, because we need to be able to help these people, and we need to make sure the service providers are getting that support as well. As this need grows, they need to grow as an organisation too, to be able to do this, to be able to support people in need. But homelessness, as you know, is I'm very passionate about, and there's such a need. You know, there's other opportunities of mental health support, connecting with homeless people that need to get themselves back on track, and that's a whole nother opportunity. So there's just so many people that need to, you know, really do more and help people get into houses. There's quite a few houses, you know, that are sitting, especially social housing, that are sitting empty, and that's very frustrating. We would think that these houses, you know, would take priority, and I know sometimes getting tradespeople and all those things that we need to do that, but these should be priorities, you know, to get these teams in, to get these houses back, you know, so people can move into those places. They're not just sitting empty when we've got a waiting list of thousands of people.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. Just one more thing before I let you go. Last I heard, you were undecided about whether you were going to support an Indigenous voice to Parliament. It's a very big contentious issue at the moment, coming up as we go towards a referendum. What's your position on that now?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting time, and I'm meeting with our local community Indigenous leaders. I've been doing that and really getting an understanding of what they feel, or why they feel this is the right decision. That's also divided. You know, it's not yes from all sides of the Indigenous community either. You know, there's a yes and a no. It's almost like when you go out and sit on a round table in the community. You'll see people sit at that table. Some will be yes, some will be no. But I think, you know, the non-binding position for the state coalition is really important. I think it shows a stance that every person has an opportunity to have their own mind up, make up their own mind about it. I think the campaign swell will certainly, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to get very big. And I think hearing both sides of the debate and the democratic process of each person being able to hopefully get that knowledge and appropriate detail to get a full understanding, and that's how I feel too, just to get the appropriate details and fully understand what this change means. And once that finer detail and parliamentary report is, you know, really understood, I think that will help us all. And it's a democratic process, and I think everyone needs to be respectful. I've heard people be quite unfair to each other across the table, you know, and that's, you know, and that will happen when it comes to someone feeling very passionate about something. But it is difficult, and like many, I'm still, you know, really looking at what this means, and is it the best way to do this? Is this the best way for our Indigenous communities that's going to make a difference? We know closing the gap, you know, billions of dollars has not made enough difference. So we don't want to, you know, repeat things of the past. We want to make sure that there is an opportunity for positive change. And I'll be listening to all of those conversations and sitting back and really, you know, taking it all in. And I think making informed decisions rather than a knee-jerk reaction on some things is really important, because some of the people will hear something that they think, well, that's why I'm going to vote for it. Maybe they need more information to make a really truly informed decision when they come to make their vote. But everyone, it's an individual vote. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and it should be a respectful debate regardless of what you decide or I decide or our community decides. But I am doing my due diligence, and I'm meeting with the Reconciliation Action Group, organising that meeting as we speak. And just really listening to their, you know, to their reasons, and making sure that I'm being really understood and understand their reasoning behind their positions.
So at this point, the short answer is still undecided?
Like most people.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I kind of got the impression that a lot of people are very one way or the other, but I guess
I was at the coffee morning the other morning, and quite a few people were saying that they were still unsure of what it meant. You know, they really don't quite understand it, and I think that is a common thread. I mean, you might, you know, yes, there might be a lot of people that are very yes and very no, and they're often the ones that will make the noise at the moment. If you talk to a lot of, I was at Park Lake the other day talking to a big group there, and most people around the table were sort of saying they really don't understand it. They're not quite sure what it means, and they probably need to do more research to have a better understanding of the opportunity this might bring.
Well, let's hope they do, Kim. We all want to be well informed when we vote for things, don't we?
I absolutely think that is exactly the case. Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, and I hope we can catch up with you on a regular basis.
Yeah, that would be great. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks so much, Terry.
Thank you. We've been talking to the member for Shepparton District, Kim O'Keefe.
Buying a bed can be overwhelming. With so much choice, how do you know if you've found the right one? Bedmatch at 40 Winks takes the confusion out of buying a bed. Our exclusive system calculates your support needs using leading-edge technology. Our sleep specialists can then recommend the best sleep solution for you from our range of leading brand mattresses.
Riverside Plaza, Shepparton.
Station sponsor.
Let Merritt Funeral Services take the stress out of your funeral arrangements. Whether you're looking to prepay a funeral, arrange a bond, or prearrange a complete funeral, Merritt Funeral Services are just a phone call away. They can even come direct to you anywhere across the region to help walk you through the process, each and every step of the way. With more than 40 years industry experience, expect nothing less than service and advice that exceeds your expectations. Let Merritt Funeral Services take care of everything. Phone 5825 1651.
1FM sponsor.
Looking for a new career or know somebody locally who is? Flavourite is Australia's largest glasshouse grower of fresh fruit and vegetables that operates right here in the Goulburn Valley. Flavourite offers permanent, part-time and casual roles in various departments across the business, such as crop care, picking, packing and more. Hourly paid roles with attractive and achievable bonuses. No experience necessary with on-the-job training provided. Flavourite prides itself on providing a great team culture and supportive environment with unlimited opportunities to grow a career in agriculture. There are multiple positions available right now, so to find out more, visit flavourite.com.au or call us on 03562 1693.
Station sponsor.
The cops. Nothing to see here. Oh no. Don't put the lights on. Don't put the lights on.
Evening, driver. License, please.
Don't be tempted to take risks while you're driving. Chances are you will be caught. Anywhere, anytime. A message from the TAC. Drive safely for everyone.
Station sponsor.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.